Well, good morning. Blessings to each one of you. It's a joy to be here, obviously. I'm excited because I truly believe this. I don't think all of you do, but I truly believe 100% of you could be excellent communicators. I really do believe it. The burden obviously comes with the fact that not all of you believe that. That's where the burden is.
Sure, brother.
I do believe that if we would take the first session as it was preached, that would go a long way in helping. It would go a long way in helping release some of these inner things that can help us in communication.
This morning we're talking about communication and relationships. And just to jump right in other ways, better ways to express ourselves around others. I wanted to preach a message communicating in brotherhood, but with this message, communicating in relationships, and then Thursday's message, communicating in conflict, I feel like both of those messages are going to take care of the brotherhood one. And so keep that in mind, that when we're talking about relationships, a lot of that is going to be within the brotherhood. But just to start off with two concerns that I have when we're talking about communication. The first concern is when we're learning how to communicate, when we're learning how to connect with others, when we're learning ways to be good communicators, my concern is that we take this knowledge and we apply it to other people and how they should communicate with us. Does that make sense? And so we take this information and then we use it for other people and not ourselves. And an example of this would be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him all, in all things, which is the head, even Christ." And what we do is we take a verse like speaking the truth in love. Who is that verse written to? Exactly. It's written to each one of us that are reading it, that we should be speaking the truth in love. And a lot of times, I've heard it many times, and I'm sure you have, and maybe you've used it, but we take that and we weaponize it with that verse. And we start to say that, well, you really didn't come to me in love. Since you didn't, and I've actually had somebody say this, had you come in a different way, I think I could have heard you. Now that's a reality. That's a reality, it is. And these sessions are to equip us so that we don't come to people in that way. However, we're not to use it as a weapon that we are not going to hear unless somebody goes through these steps. And it can be extremely powerful if we become good communicators. We learn how to communicate into the innermost of people's hearts. We know how to unlock people's hearts. And yet we ourselves don't require that for us to unlock our hearts. That is going to be extremely powerful in each one of your lives if you can grasp that. In other words, we hear comments like this. What you said wasn't all true. There was some truth in it, but it wasn't all true. And so we disregard it. That is not wisdom. What we want to do is we want to try to glean any truth when it comes to people trying to speak to us. You know, our heart, our prayer is, search me, O God. We want to hear from people. And so we're always grasping for anything that will help us get closer to God. Not trying to say, well, I'm not going to receive that because of how this person said it. Or that there wasn't 100% truth. That would be my first concern. So let's not do that. My second concern is that this is not a counseling course. There are thousands of books out there on communicating. I would probably label them more as like self-help books. And what I notice in these books when it comes to communication, I'm not saying you should throw them out of your bookshelf, that you shouldn't use them. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that a lot of times these books, The focus and the goal is going to be different than the scriptures. It's going to be different than what our goal is here this week. And the reason it's going to be different is because it seems to me that those books are extremely good at helping you communicate, but it has yourself in mind. It's how to win friends and influence people for me, for my benefit, for my gain. And so it could be a temptation even this week for you all to get this thought. If I could be a better communicator, it would make me look better. It would make me have more friends. And we're going to miss the whole thing. We're going to miss the power of God that's in it. We're going to miss the heart of this message. We're going to miss relationships. And we're going to wonder, you know, people might look at me in a certain way and think, wow, he's gifted, or wow, he's a communicator. But we're not going to have the close relationships that each one of us needs. We're going to miss that. And that is going to be a very negative thing that would happen. How can you, we hear this, but how can you show someone that you care? You know, that might just almost be the key to the whole thing. How can you show someone that you care? And we can try to figure that out. We can try to dissect it. What can I do? But really, the answer is very simple. The answer is to actually care. If you actually care, if it's something that's coming from within, then you don't have to figure out how to go about making it work. It just flows out of you. And so let's keep that in mind as we go through this morning. When it comes to self-help books, when it comes to methods, when it comes to practical ways to communicate, let's remember these verses. And I'll just maybe read them. I know in a boot camp like this, it's probably good to turn your Bibles. So let's just start off with, let's do that a little bit, but I'll go through it quick. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. And we'll just read through four of them real quick. And this is my self-help advice to you. This is probably the best self-help reading you'll ever get. Philippians 2, 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And while you're there in those epistles, Colossians 4, 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Flip back there to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And then Philemon 1:6, "That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." This would be a true self-help message, and it's simply to be done with self and to focus on others. That is the message there when it comes to self. And when it comes to relationships, it's amazing how if you are full of self, it doesn't matter how nice you are, it doesn't matter how good you are at talking, it's going to come out. People will see it. People will understand it. So when we're dealing with relationships, when we're talking with relationships, you can get a lot of things figured out. You can get things figured out with your hands. You can get things figured out with your eyes. These are tremendous things. When we're talking about eye contact, we're talking about hand gestures, when we're talking about engaging and connecting with people. But if it isn't from your heart, if it isn't from a selfless heart, it's not going to get deep. It will not do it. And remember what we talked about yesterday, going deep in relationships is the need, and connecting with people is the need. And we're going to explain that a little bit here in a minute. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22 for an opening verse here. Matthew chapter 22 in verse 36. This was already mentioned Monday morning. In verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And I read that because I want to get the point across, which I think most of you would know this, but our Christian life is all, there's a word that was brought out yesterday morning, it is all about relationships. And you see, we have two commandments here. We have the first commandment that is our relationship with God, and we have the second that's likened unto the first, which is our relationship with other people. And I think what sometimes can be a mistake from people is they look at it like this. If or when I get this figured out, then I will have this figured out. But it's actually a little bit of a trick in that. It's a little bit of a trick, and I don't believe it's accurate. I believe it is a conclusive commandment. That's why he says the second is like unto the first. Because if you read here, it also says in John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now here it is in verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so I believe it is all a one package. That as we get close to God, we will draw close to our brother. We will draw close to our neighbor, to others. Because what can happen is this. Is we use it as a 1-2 process. We never get to two. We never get to two. We are always focusing on, and I know people like that, but they don't have any fellowship, they have no church. They're just simply people that it's me and God. It's me and God. And I had somebody just recently tell me that you're going to find out, Benji, as you get older. In fact, I bet you'll be here when you're older. But you're going to realize that nobody's got this figured out. That's why nobody has this figured out. And that could be a truth, but I'm not going to settle for that. I'm going to say this, that they're going to know if you have this figured out by what you do here, like it says there in John. But relationships are such an amazingly important thing that I wonder if we realize it. You know, God created us for this. He created us for relationships. And I think of the example that was given, wasn't too long ago, that a young man, actually he's probably middle-aged with a small family, but this was his testimony. He was calling, wanting some preachers to come and preach in his community. And this is what he said. He said, he was not born in an Anabaptist setting at all or a church setting. He was born on the streets. And this was his testimony. He says, I grew up on the streets. And I grew up in a gang. And I was in a gang for most of my teenage years into my 20s. And he said, it's amazing because these people that were in my gang were my friends. It's all that I knew. I love these people. They were extremely dear to me. We knew everything about each other. We talked about everything together. We spent every day together. We cried on each other's shoulders. We loved each other. But we were doing some very bad things. And when I found out that the Christian church is the same thing that I have, but you don't have to do bad things, I ran to it. I ran to it. I left my gang. I left my friends. I left all that I knew, and I ran to the church. And as tears flow, he says, and I've never found it yet. And dear young people, I am certain of it. I guarantee it. In every single one of your hearts, you need it. You need relationships. You need a shoulder to cry on. You need people to talk with. You need to be able to open up. You need friends. You need people to love that love you. You need to be able to connect. And you have an adversary that wants to destroy it, and he's winning so many of the time. But if one of you here was discouraged, or I'll just make it personal, if you were discouraged, if you were having a bad day, a really bad day, who would you call? If you had a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions that were tearing at you, who would you call? For those of you that have some name in your mind right now, I would almost guarantee that you wouldn't call that person because they would be able to take care of all your problems. You're not calling that person because they're extremely smart, extremely gifted. If you have a name in your mind right now of somebody that you know you would call, I almost guarantee it's because you know that they would care. You know that they would love you. You know that they would listen to you. And I'm thankful. But maybe some of you didn't come up with a name. Maybe you don't have anybody you call. Maybe you don't have anybody you talk to. Maybe you're a type of person that you have that cage deep in your life, and you just take those days and you take those emotions and you go down deep in there and you stick them in the cellar and you lock the door. And you walk away hoping you never think of them again. You know, maybe down in that cellar you not only have all this emotions, all these questions, but maybe you have sin down there as well. It's where you put all the things that you don't want people to know. And I want to focus a little bit on this person for two reasons. One, I believe some of you are this person. And two, I would love to see all of us be able to not only not be that person, but to be able to help people that are. And so if you picture this person that is always stuffing emotions, always hiding things in their life, they have a secret room it all goes into, I want you to be thinking this. If it's you, you need to open up. You need to open up. You need to learn how to trust. You need to learn how to love. You need to learn how to connect. And if it's not you, you need to be able to help them do that. That's the point of this message. That is how you're going to build relationships. And it's going to start with truly caring. But when we're talking about this person, that we're going to be looking for so that we can help them, this person begins to put walls up. Now, when we're looking at the subject of communication and relationships, is there room for walls? Does that sound like it's something that's going to aid us? We all know that walls are negative. Walls do not bring people together. Walls do not help connection. And also that you all are growing up. There are people that I probably would say that last year were here that are now back there. There's people that were here that went back there that now have people here. You're growing up. You're becoming influential in your churches. And the fear of it is people, they'll become influential in their churches. They'll actually do the right things by still having the cellar in the basement. And they'll get through life without any good relationships. They'll get through life without anybody that truly cares. And they build walls because they don't want to get hurt. And it brings me to this illustration here. Most of you have seen this. Most of you have seen this in people's windows of their houses, people bumper stickers. Does this look familiar to anybody? This way. Reading right? Okay, right here. This is interesting, isn't it? What do you think this does for relationships when you see this on the bumper sticker of the car in front of you? Does it make you want to follow them to wherever their destination is and have a chat? When you see it on a flagpole in front of somebody's yard, we see them all over the place. But here's the point of this. It's an interesting flag, and here's why it's interesting. This snake on this flag is actually a very nice snake. It's true. I know that some of you don't believe that, but it's actually true. He's a very nice snake. This snake just has a few simple things in life that he enjoys. He likes to obviously eat, and he also likes to be left alone. He likes to rest and nap. He loves, maybe like some of us, he loves a nice sunny spot to sleep. But there's a problem in this situation, isn't there? When this snake, this nice, friendly snake, is resting on the path, getting his sun, he just has one stipulation. I don't want anybody to step on me. I'm going to mind my business, and I would be just delighted if you would mind yours. And so the snake, in his pleasant personality, just wants to help you. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to help you. Don't step on me. Don't go there. If you step on me, I'm going to bite you. How many friends do you think the snake has? And that's how it is. I've actually found that we have a neighbor across the field there, actually a neighbor right behind us, that has that flag in his window. And as I got to know this man, I found out he's actually a sheriff. He's extremely nice. But he doesn't want anybody to mess with him. And you're going to find, if it's not in your own life right now, if it is your life, we're going to leave this. If it is your life, you've got to get free. But we're going to switch over to it's in a lot of people's lives, and you might be the key to helping them. You might be the key to helping them. Maybe there's people you're thinking about right now. Or maybe it's this, and maybe we'll get to more of this on Friday. At a time like this, social butterfly. Friends, but once you walk into the home, the banner goes up. Don't touch me. Mom, Dad, you leave me alone. Maybe that's where you find yourself. And I can assure you that it leads to shallow relationships. Or maybe you do okay, but with somebody that's younger than you or less than you, don't tell me what to do. Maybe that's your spirit. But if there are people in your life that are this way, or you come across people, which you will, how do you get them to be free? How do you build relationships through your communication? You'll hear a lot of things when you come into contact with these type of people. They are usually fairly negative people. They may be label themselves as persecuted or prophetic. But in reality, when it comes to the second commandment, which is likened unto the first, they miss it by a mile. They miss it by a mile. And I'm just offering the thought, you're never going to make it. You're not going to make it. We need relationships too badly. They say that there's three words that are the most useless words in communication. Three words that are the most useless in the whole world of communication, and those three words are, how are you? Can you imagine that? They're the most useless words, and the reason they're the most useless words is the people that ask, how are you or how are you doing, they don't care how you're doing. And the people that get asked that are never going to tell you how they're doing. And so it's simply just a very shallow interaction. And I have people It's interesting. Once you start thinking down these lines, I have people ask me how I'm doing and then just keep on talking. Don't even give me a chance to even explain. But what follows a shallow introduction like that, and you'll catch yourself doing it often, is you lose an opportunity and you have a meaningless exchange with zero connection. If we want to truly connect with people and build relationships, we're going to have to make a choice to go deep. We're going to have to make a choice to connect. And so here is an example of something that you can do or something you can be looking for. You know what happens a lot of times to people that are wanting to talk? They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to talk, and so they have all these emotions welling up inside of them. Maybe they're going through one of these bad days, and here you come in their path, and they would love to talk to you. They would love to open up, but they're not sure how to do it. They're actually scared of how to do it. And I've been in situations like this myself, where it's a sensitive subject, and you're not sure what to do. You don't know how much to say. You don't know who you should talk to, but you want to talk to somebody. It's, you know what you do in this situation? Here's what you do. You come in across a contact with somebody, and you throw a clue out to them. You just chuck a clue. And you're hoping that they get the clue. And I think it happens a lot in you young people. I think it happens a lot in your relationships where there's clues getting thrown out. And I think it's going to happen until you die. People are wanting help. You have people that are walking around with a banner saying, I need help. I need somebody to talk with me. I need somebody to hear me. I need somebody to work through some of these situations. But I have trouble trusting. I have trouble opening up. I'm scared. And so they have this little banner that says, help me, please. And yet we just dismiss the clue and throw it off. And my encouragement to all you when it comes to relationships, when it comes to communicating in relationship, is that we are looking for people that have that need. Looking for people that are throwing clues out. I've had it before where I'll find a place where I think it's safe to throw a clue out. And I'll throw a clue out. And what that does is it gets them thinking about things in their own life. And the next 20 or 30 minutes, they share their woes. And you know, to be honest with you, that can be good if I'm trying to unlock their heart. But at this time, I was wanting somebody to help me with my heart. And so it becomes hard. And I've had to do this a lot of times where I'm wanting help. I have some needs in my own heart, but I find myself having to help somebody else with their needs. And so the key to this can be is if you truly cared, if you truly cared about where people were at, and you're observant, you're watching people, you're hearing people, and when you get a clue, you know what to do with it. You know what to do with it. And it can be something extremely, extremely simple. It can be something like this. As you're getting ready to leave a fellowship meal or a Sunday night singing, whatever it is, and you say bye to a friend and they say, oh, I'm dreading another week of work. You can take that and you can just make it surface. Well, don't worry. You can retire in 50 years and off you go. Or you can maybe walk with him to his car and just say, what's going on at work? And jump right into giving this person an opportunity to open up their heart, open up their life. Now, when you do that, and you end up standing there beside this car, and it's cold outside, it's Sunday night, and you spend an hour talking. What is that doing? It's beautiful. It's building relationships that you have a good chance at having for the rest of your life. Relationships that you are going to hold dear, they're going to help you through life. And when we hear about emotions, when we hear about this word emotions, It's kind of a scary word, but I just want to say this. We are all emotional people. I don't care what you say. I don't care what front you have. I don't care how many walls you've built. We are emotional people. Young men, you are emotional. Stop trying to be tough. You need a shoulder to cry on every once in a while. You do. It needs to happen, and there's a thing called pride that keeps you from doing it. And God wants to shatter it. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to take communication sometimes to get through some of those things. It's going to take some work. Somebody to come in and work and try to massage, and all of a sudden the stuff starts to come out. And as you go home that Sunday evening, you feel like you're on cloud nine. You feel like somebody heard you. You're rejoicing. And there's not one person in this room that isn't going through something. I mean, we're in this extremely small part of this whole thing, this vapor of a life. And Jesus in John 17 is basically saying, how are they going to do it? I mean, the devil's loose, Lord. How are they going to make it? And Jesus is continually praying that they would love one another, that they would come together, that they would humble themselves, that they would get rid of this macho attitude or this fearful attitude, and that they would have deep relationships. I truly believe that the closer you get to God, the more emotional. Now, I'm not talking about just uncontrolled. More sensitive. More lowly that you become. More of a desire to help. What goes through your mind when a brother or sister in church loses a grandparent? Can we be honest about it? It's not that big of a deal. You know, where was so-and-so this Sunday? Oh, brother so-and-so's grandmother died. It's not that big of a deal. We don't think of it possibly ever again. But you know, for that brother that just lost their grandparents, it was a shock to the family. The whole family flew from different areas of the country and all met for 2 or 3 days together. It was an emotional time. There's a lot of stories shared. This brother of yours had to watch his father weep over the casket of his mother. He realizes, it just sinks in after the funeral, that he's never going to see his grandma again. And he comes back to church, and nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to realize all that's going on inside. Does that make sense? It is because we're missing it. We're missing relationships. We're missing this idea of connecting. You know, Lord, how about that prayer? Lord, show me when there's needs. I want to be sensitive to my brothers. I want to be somebody that's going around and helping and blessing. It's not going to build relationships. We should have the best relationships in the world, hands down. The best relationships, the most secure place to be. But we have an adversary that is sowing seeds of doubt and sowing seeds of fear and sowing seeds of pride that is destroying it. And my plea today here is that we would not let it happen anymore. And there's not going to be a time, young men, that you humble yourselves and you expose yourselves and you stick forth your withered hand, that there's going to be condemnation that comes. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It actually builds appreciation. It builds value. It builds the relationships and the connection. And it goes deeper and deeper. The practical way that we can do this, let's have hearts that care. Let's just seek God to that end. I care. Jesus Christ in his short ministry, in our scriptures, asked 305 questions. 305 questions, and most of those were open-ended questions. A big chunk of those started with two words: how and why. And just remember that. How and why. How was your weekend with your family? There is amazing power in a question. There's amazing power in a question, and I would hope that each one of us could try to master it out of a heart that is pure. Now you can probably start to understand what I was talking about yesterday when I was talking about introverted and extroverted, and how you're going to realize that it's not about how loud you can be. It's not about how good you can speak. It's not about how much of a dynamic person you are. It's actually about a heart that truly cares and that can truly connect to someone. And so when you're going to ask somebody a question, we can use questions also to weaponize. We can use questions to equip our ministry. We can use questions in a rhetorical sense so that we can teach somebody something. And there's a place for that, I'm sure. There's a place for it. I'm not throwing that out. In ministry, that's very helpful. But when you have a heart that cares for somebody, your questions are going to be done in a way that you want to know more about their situation. You want to know more about who they are. What was the hardest thing that you experienced at your grandmother's funeral? And watch the emotions come out. And all of a sudden you start realizing that this was a big deal to this brother. He's going through a hard time. And we have an opportunity to pour out a blessing in their life. There was a study that was done which consisted of a room with no windows. It had a rug on the floor and had two chairs facing each other. And in this study, what they did is they went out and got random people that did not know anyone there, each other. And they brought these people in, two complete strangers, and they faced them together. And they had a already prearranged a list of questions that they would ask each other. And it was going to last 60 minutes. 60 minutes of questions. And they didn't care how many questions they asked, how many they got through. It was questions that would be as shallow as, when is the last time that you sang to yourself when nobody was around? All the way to, if you were to die suddenly, what would be the biggest thing that you would regret not communicating to someone? And they did this experiment to right around 300 people. Two at a time. And after the meeting was over, the 60 minutes was over, they dismissed him to go home with no further instructions. 7 weeks later, they reached out to all 300 and they found that 57% of them had made connection with that person again. 35% of them have actually been meeting face-to-face again. They had arranged for times to meet. And in the month that followed, two of the people ended up getting married. It's amazing. It's amazing the power of a question. When you ask somebody a question and you get a response and you hear what they're saying and you truly care and you understand. You see, most of the time when we hear somebody talking, we're already formulating our response. We need to repent of that. That's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to, and then when the person shares, he knows right away whether you heard him. How many times have you heard that from someone? I know in the back you've heard it more. You're not hearing me. I know, but you're not hearing me. And the reason you're getting that response is because they weren't wanting an answer. They're wanting you to understand. They're wanting you to process something, wanting you to consider something that was deeper than where you are. If I'm ever that way with my wife and she tells me you're not listening or you're not understanding me, it's because I'm on a shallow level and she wants to be deeper. That's why we're missing each other. And it's not healthy in relationships. I would beg it of you that you would make a commitment to not be shallow, but to dive deep. People want it. People need it. We need it. Some of you know Nathan Overholt. Maybe some of you don't. I had never met Nathan before. I had seen him at different places. I had heard about Nathan Overholt. I had heard that I don't know if it's accurate, but he receives about 2,000 guests into his home each year. Those are some things that impressed me. My. And I was at a minister's meeting where he was there, and it was over lunchtime, and there's a cafeteria full of people. And when I get my tray, I stand there and I look out, and my idea now is to try to connect with somebody. I would love to be able to connect with somebody. And I've had a lot of fruit in this. I've had a lot of fruit, and here's the fruit. I have relationships today that are very good and deep because of that. Because I made a move to set with somebody, and I made a commitment to trying to connect with them. And it happened to be at this time that I seen Nathan, and there was nobody sitting across from him. He was in a group of people, 10 people all eating lunch together, and an empty seat right across from him. And so I didn't hesitate to take that seat, and I sat down, and I'm just listening to the conversation. And Nathan, I believe I had a name tag on, Nathan looks at me and says, "Benji Grant, tell me about yourself." I said, "I have 8 children, live in Dayton, Ohio." No. I want to know who you really are. For the next hour, we cried, we laughed. I know more about Nathan Overholt than I ever thought I would. And we have a good relationship today and communicate back and forth via phone. The more people like that that you have in your life, the better it will be. Now that is a relationship that is afar, obviously. That should not even come close to the relationships that we would have in our own brotherhoods, in our own circles. And that shouldn't compare to the relationships that we would have in our own homes, with our own parents and with our own siblings. Truly caring. So when somebody does that, when somebody puts a clue out, we receive it, we hear it. God's involved in this, we've prayed about it. We want to be able to help. We want to be able to help people in their needs, right? Now we listen. Now we listen with one thing in mind. One thing in mind. My objective now is to try and understand. I want to understand what is going on. So yesterday I overheard you say this. I just have a question for you. And you put out a question that is a very caring question. And then you listen and you try to understand. It's not an opportunity to set them straight. It's not an opportunity to even to teach them. You may not have answers. You find yourself crying out to God in those times, wanting to be able to help. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you were able to break down someone's walls and get someone to start pulling things out of their dungeon? And as you start to get to know somebody, and as you start to express care, they sense care, you start asking questions that are going to unlock that. You start asking questions that have a lot of meaning. Can I ask you a personal question? If I were to ask that to you, some of you, that would be a relief. That would be refreshing. To some of you, that would scare you. If you're the type that would scare you, you know what's going on. What I would like for us to be, when we ask that question, to be able to understand what's going on. When somebody clearly puts up their wall, what do you do at that point? I tried, he wouldn't open up. Is that where we leave it? Remember, inside the heart is something burning, and it's called care. What we know is that this person is not being open, this person is not being free. It isn't going to work to keep on digging, is it? But it will work if you truly care. It will work. You'll find a way. First off, you acknowledge in your own heart that there is a wall here. That's the first sign that you are trying to understand the situation, that you are wanting to get into something deep. And I know I've been focusing on brotherhood. I know I've been focusing on things within the family and the church. But this can go as deep as it can go. This can go as wide as it can go. This can go on the airplane. You know, the person that you always see at the bank that just seems to be forlorn, just seems to be their heads down. And you ask that question. And no matter what, it's a good question. A deep question is always a good question because you're going to find something out very quickly. You're going to find out if they put up a wall, or you're going to find out if they want to talk to someone. And then what you do with those two results is they're both just as important. They take as much time. One's going to be a little harder, isn't it? But you're committed to trying to get through. You're committed to trying to help them relieve some of these things. You know, there's a new occupation out there. It's actually becoming very famous. It's called Certified Happiness Life Coach. So people are hiring these coaches that they'll probably never see in person, that they can kind of relieve some of these things to. They can open up that deep inner feelings to a stranger that does not have true care. It definitely doesn't have the power of God to influence this person. There is a need out there. Loneliness is an epidemic. It's an amazing need out there. And if there's 160 of you young people here and you leave this week filled with the Holy Spirit, your prayer lives are on fire and fervent, all the things that you're hearing, and you go out into this world, you go into your brotherhoods, you go into your homes and your walls of your home, and you have a heart that wants to try to understand people. You have a heart that wants to connect in relationships and build relationships. You know, the temptation can be, especially on, that's probably both sides. The temptation can be that you're friends with people that think like you, that have the same personality, the same interests, and you get this little connection together. And you know, to be honest, those connections often don't go deep either. Those connections don't go deep either. But we forget about the people that are not like us, that are more quiet or more loud, whatever it is. And I believe that in our churches, in our Bible schools, there's all manner of people that are just desperately wanting somebody to help them, to love them, to care for them. And I would love to see that each one of you would leave here with a purpose that I'm going to be somebody that does some help. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to start asking questions. Who do men say that I am? Questions that are open. And I'm going to make a commitment to investing in people, investing in relationships. Do you think it'd make a difference in your life? If you can picture yourself, I know I say this a lot, probably more back home, but if you can picture yourself 60 years from now, 60 years, in the next 60 years, you accomplish a lot of things. Maybe you have this business that you've built from the ground up. Maybe you have these investments or this bank account. Maybe you've had this many children. But you have not done this one thing. I believe you'll be most miserable. Most alone. Most regrets than you could ever have. I witnessed a man on his deathbed when he was, I believe, close to 90 years old. And this was the picture. He couldn't speak anymore. He was mere minutes away from dying. He had an oxygen mask on. And the entire room was full of people. Packed full. And they were all singing a song. And this dying man just had tears rolling out of his eyes. It was because this man invested in people. He invested in relationships. He invested in connecting. Let's seek God on it. God bless you.